Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. We stand forgiven at the cross. I have found a beautiful verse to talk about today. I have found a beautiful verse that I want to show you today. RG, just put that thing up, would you please? Deuteronomy 7:9. Look at this, Trinity Baptist. Know therefore that the Lord your God, He is God, the faithful God, who keeps His covenant and His loving kindness to a thousand generations with those who love Him and keep His commandments. Let's pray together. What a love, what a cost. We stand forgiven at the cross. Just take a few moments right now and think about the faithfulness of God that sent His Son, to bear the wrath, to pay the price, that we may stand forgiven at the cross. In your heart right now, just thank God for the faithfulness that caused Him to make a gospel promise and to come through. Now, would you just pray right now and say, God, I want to hear from you today. I want the Holy Spirit to speak to my heart through the Holy Scriptures. I want to know God more and love Him more. Would you just pray that right now? Now, would you pray for me? I have an awesome and terrifying task. For the next few moments, I'm going to tell you what God is like. Would you pray that everything I say would be true of God? That I could explain and talk about God as He truly is today? Heavenly Father, be glorified. Be glorified in these next few moments and feed your sheep. In Jesus' name, amen. Know therefore, Trinity Baptist, that the Lord your God, He is God, the faithful God who keeps His covenant and His loving kindness to a thousand generations with those who love Him and keep His commandments. Trinity Baptist Church, God is faithful. God is faithful. The Old Testament was originally written in Hebrew. And it is helpful to understand what the Old Testament is saying by looking at the original Hebrew. The Hebrew word faithful in this verse, it's why I have it underlined. By the way, every verse I show you today, if it's underlined, it's the same Hebrew word I'm going to show you now. The Hebrew word for faithful is the word amen. Amen. Should be in your notes. Amen. The Greek word amen and the English word amen. Amen. When you come here to Trinity Baptist and you hear me preach and you hear someone say amen after what I just said, what they are saying is, it is true. It is true. The English word is amen. It is true. The Greek word is amen. Jesus says, truly, truly, or verily, verily, I say unto you, unless a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Truly, truly, or verily, verily, is the Greek word, amen. Amen. And we get the Hebrew word amen, amen, to be true. It means to support, to confirm, or to be faithful. And right now I'm going to tell you why I love this building. Look up right now and you will see huge wooden beams. Those wooden beams are holding this building up. And right now, every single one of us is exercising faith in those beams. You walk into this building and you say, those beams will be faithful to support the weight of the building. Those beams, the reason I love this building, Trinity Baptist, is every single Sunday you walk into the church, those beams teach you about God. That's what God is. He is faithful. He is faithful. And the Hebrew word, amen, is used in the Bible in exactly that same way. Look at 2 Kings 18:16 behind me on the screen. At that time, Hezekiah cut off the gold from the doors of the temple of the Lord and from the doorposts, which Hezekiah, king of Judah, had overlaid, and gave it to the king of Assyria. Doorposts, Hebrew word, amen. To support. To support. That's what it means. They are firm. They are certain. They support the building. The Hebrew word amen is also used of the certainty of a parent or the certainty of a nurse holding a child. Holding a child. Many of us have had the awesome privilege of being parents. And when you are holding that baby, you are faithful not to drop her. You are faithful. And the Hebrew word in the Bible is used exactly that same way. Look at Isaiah 60, verse 4. Lift up your eyes round about and see, they all gather together, they come to you. Your sons will come from afar, and your daughters will be carried. Amen. To be faithful. Your daughters will be carried in the arms. Ruth 4:16. Then Naomi took the child and laid him in her lap and became his nurse. Amen. Someone who supports and holds the child. Now here is the main question of the day. How does the Bible use this word, amen, to describe God? And we have our verse, Deuteronomy 7, verse 9. Know therefore that the Lord your God, he is God, the faithful God, who keeps his covenant and his loving kindness to 1,000 generations with those who love him and keep his commandments. Trinity Baptist Church, number one in your notes, God is perfectly faithful. God is perfectly faithful. He can be completely trusted to keep his word, his covenant, and his promises. Praise his holy name. When God makes a promise, when God makes a covenant, he will always keep it. It is who he is. The New Testament says, when we are faithless, he remains faithful because he cannot deny himself. He is faithful. The Old Testament is packed with stories of God keeping his promises. Do you need to strengthen your faith? Do you need to strengthen your faith in a faithful God? Do you need to strengthen your faith in the fact that God is always, always, always faithful? The Old Testament was given to us for that purpose. Look at what the Apostle Paul says in Romans 15, verse 4 about the Old Testament. He says this. Do you have that, brother? For whatever was written in earlier times was written for our instruction, so that through perseverance and the encouragement of the Scriptures, we might have hope. The Old Testament is filled with stories of the faithfulness of God. That's why Moses commanded the fathers to teach the stories to their children. The Old Testament stories strengthen your faith in God. And Moses knew that. And he says, teach these stories to your children over and over and over again so that they will know these stories, so that they will know that God is faithful. Number two in your notes, as you read through the Old Testament over and over again, your faith in God will be strengthened with each passing year. Look at some of these verses. Psalm 19, verse 7. The law of the Lord is perfect, restoring the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure. Amen. Making wise the simple. God's word is true. It is faithful. It is certain. It is sure. Psalm 93, verse 5. Your testimonies are fully confirmed. Amen. Holiness befits your house, O Lord, forevermore. Isaiah 49, verse 7. Thus says the Lord, the Redeemer of Israel and its Holy One, to the despised one, to the one abhorred by the nation, to the servant of rulers, kings will see and arise, princes will also bow down because of the Lord who is faithful, the Holy One of Israel who has chosen you. The stories in the Old Testament are written for us. They are written to show you how God is faithful in real life. One of the most amazing stories of God's faithfulness. When I read this story, I am amazed and convinced of God's faithfulness. A gift to the church today is the life of Abraham. Would you please turn to Genesis chapter 12? In Genesis chapter 12, we have one of the most important verses in all the Bible. It is very important as you read through books like Romans that you understand the life of Abraham. Now the Lord God said to Abram, go forth from your country. I'm in Genesis 12:1. Go forth from your country and from your relatives and from your father's house to the land which I will show you, and I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, and so you shall be a blessing. And I will bless those who bless you, and the one who curses you I will curse, and you all the families of the earth will be blessed. God tells Abraham, I will make you a great nation. It is a covenant. Turn over to Genesis 15. Genesis 15, verse 1. After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision, saying, do not fear, Abram, I am a shield to you. Your reward shall be very great. Abram said, O Lord God, what will you give me since I am childless? The heir of my house is Eliezer of Damascus. Abram says, how are you going to make me a great nation? I have no children. Verse 3, Abram said, since you have given no offspring to me, one born in my house is my heir. Then behold, the word of the Lord came to him, saying, this man will not be your heir, but one who will come forth from your own body, he shall be your heir. He took him outside and said, "Now look toward the heavens and count the stars if you're able to count them." And he said, "So shall your descendants be." Then he believed in the Lord and he reckoned it to him as righteousness. This verse is mentioned in Romans, where Paul is convincing us that salvation is by faith and not by works. Abram believed God, and it was reckoned to him as righteousness. But the point is, God said, "I am going to make you a great nation. You're going to have so many descendants that you can't even count them like the stars. They're going to be like the stars. You're going to have so many descendants, and it's going to come from a natural, biological child." That was the word of God to Abraham. Turn to Genesis 17. Genesis 17. And let's start from verse 15. Genesis 17, 15. Then God said to Abraham, he's already changed his name from Abram to Abraham, "As for Sarai, your wife, you shall not call her Sarai, but Sarah shall be her name. I will bless her, and indeed I will give you a son by her. Then I will bless her, and she shall be a mother of nations. Kings of peoples will come from her." Then Abraham fell on his face and laughed and said in his heart, "Will a child be born to a man 100 years old? And will Sarah, who is 90 years old, bear a child?" And Abraham said to God, "Oh, that Ishmael might live before you." But God said, "No, but Sarah, your wife, will bear you a son. And you shall call his name Isaac. And I will establish my covenant with him as an everlasting covenant for his descendants after him." God is being very specific, Trinity Baptist. He says, "I'm going to make you a great and mighty nation. I'm making a covenant with you. And this is exactly how it's going to work. You and your wife Sarah are going to have a biological, natural child, even though you are 100 years old and 90 years old. You and Sarah are going to have a biological, natural child. You will name him Isaac, and through Isaac, I will keep my promise to you. I will make you a great and mighty nation. Kings will come forth from you. If you can count the sand, if you can count the stars, so shall your descendants be, and it will all happen through Isaac." Turn to chapter 21. Chapter 21, verse 1. Then the Lord took note of Sarah, as he had said. And the Lord did for Sarah as he had promised. If you write in your Bible, if you mark in your Bible, underline that right there. The Lord did for Sarah as he had promised. So Sarah conceived and bore a son to Abraham in his old age, at the appointed time of which God had spoken to him. Abraham called the name of his son who was born to him, whom Sarah bore to him, Isaac. And there is the child of promise. With that background, turn to chapter 22. Genesis 22, verse 1. Now it came about after these things that God tested Abraham. Remember that word. God tested Abraham. The Word of God specifically tells us that this is a test. God tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham! And he said, here am I. He said, take now your son, your only son, whom you love, Isaac. He specifies Isaac. God doesn't say take any son. God doesn't say take Ishmael. God doesn't say pick someone, whoever you want. God says take Isaac. And go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I will tell you. God says, this promise that I've been making to you, this covenant that I've made to you, the son that I've told you will be a great and mighty nation, that I will raise up kings, and that I will bless you through this son, I want you to take him up on the mountain and kill him. So Abraham rose early in the morning and saddled his donkey and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son. He split wood for the burnt offering and arose and went to the place of which God had told him. On the third day, Abraham raised his eyes and saw the place from a distance. Abraham said to his young men, stay here with the donkey and I and the lad will go over there and we will worship and return. Do you see it? He says to the young men, stay here. Isaac and I are going to go and worship, and we will return. Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering, laid it on Isaac his son. He took in his hand the fire and the knife. The two of them walked on together. Isaac spoke to Abraham his father and said, my father. And he said, here I am, my son. And he said, behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? Abraham said, God will provide. God will provide for himself the lamb for the burnt offering, my son. The two of them walked on together. Then they came to the place of which God had told him. Abraham built the altar there, arranged the wood, and bound his son Isaac and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Abraham stretched out his hand and took the knife to slay his son, but the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham! And he said, here I am. Do not stretch out your hand against the lad. Do nothing to him, for now I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me. Abraham raised his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in the thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the place of his son. Abraham called the name of that place, the Lord will provide. As it is said to this day, in the mountain of the Lord, it will be provided. God gave Abraham the greatest, hardest test of all. God promised Abraham that he would bless him. God promised that he would bless him through Isaac, and then God said, now kill him. Abraham trusted God when trusting God seemed totally insane. Abraham trusted God, and God came through. Why did God come through? Because God is faithful. Hebrews chapter 11 gives us a little bit of commentary on this. By faith, Abraham, when he was tested, there's the word again. By faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac. And he who had received the what? The promise. He who had received the promises was offering up his only begotten son. It was he to whom it was said, in Isaac your descendants will be called. He considered that God is able to raise people even from the dead, from which he also received him back as a type. How does this apply to your life? How does this apply to your life? How does this apply to my life? Very, very, very simple. Number 3 in your notes. Because God is perfectly faithful, you can completely trust him with everything. With everything. Trinity Baptist Church, when we are faithless, he remains faithful because he cannot deny himself. God will never be unfaithful because it's who he is. He is completely faithful. He can be trusted. His word can be trusted. And you and I are tested all the time, aren't we? We are tested all the time. Every single one of us has a situation in our life where it completely looks, everything we see says, I have got to do it this way. But God says, do it this way. And everything you see says, if I do it that way, it's going to be a disaster. I've got to do it this way. But, oh, Trinity Baptist Church, it's a test. It's a test. And Abraham has this wonderful moment on Mount Moriah, and he names the place. God will provide. And my heart for you and my heart for me is that by the grace of God, we would pass the test. And you and I would have a place or a day or a situation where we can name it for the rest of our lives, God will provide. Oh, that's my heart for you. And oh, that's my heart for me, that when you have that test, that you will know that I will do it God's way even when it looks like it's going to be a total mess. I will trust God who is faithful, and I will do it his way, and you can come up to your Christian friends or to your elders and to your pastors and say, look, I had this situation and it looked bad, but I did it God's way, and on this day and in this place, I named it God will provide, and you will have that to lean on for the rest of your life. Trinity Baptist Church, God is faithful. It is a core, unchangeable characteristic of his identity. He is faithful because he cannot deny himself. The New Testament has a lot to say about the faithfulness of God. And by his grace and for his glory, that is exactly what we're going to talk about next week. Will you pray with me, please? Gracious Heavenly Father, help us to completely trust you because you are completely trustworthy. In Jesus' name, amen.